WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The pressure is on. Ukraine's president will meet with President Biden at the White House today. The visit is part of a push to get Republicans in Congress to support additional aid to Ukraine, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Volodymyr Zelensky will be on both sides of a gridlocked U.S. Capitol, trying to convince Congress to approve more aid for Ukraine in its war against Russia. But Republicans in the House and Senate are insisting on new border security provisions, new immigration reform as part of any Ukraine aid package, and the top negotiators said late Monday there's no end to those negotiations in sight.
President Biden says his administration is working tirelessly to free the hostages being held by Hamas. He spoke during a Hanukkah reception at the White House yesterday.
There's a whole range of things going on now that are really very, very difficult. We've gotten more than 100 hostages out, and we're not going to stop till we get every one of them home.
Federal prosecutors say they'll use data from White House cell phones used by then-President Trump as part of their election interference case against him. Details from CBS's Robert Costa.
When you step back, the big picture here is special counsel Jack Smith is building a sprawling case that is going to rely on eyewitness testimony, potentially from former Vice President Mike Pence, among others, plus phone data that can provide a map for the jury to understand what Trump was doing, who he was calling, and how long those calls took place.
A leader of the Yemeni Houthi rebels is claiming responsibility for attacking a nearby tanker. The USS Mason responded to a distress call. A federal jury has ruled that Google's Android App Store violates antitrust laws. The finding came after a month-long trial during which Fortnite maker Epic Games accused Google of gouging users through its Play Store. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
This decision isn't going to be just about Google. The case also stands in stark contrast to Epic's lost case and appeal efforts when it sued Apple over similar issues in its App Store.
It's a nice surprise for a lottery player.
A 29-year-old Michigan man drove around with a $2 million winning lottery ticket for 4 months. He had tossed the winning ticket into the center console of his pickup truck, along with several non-winning tickets.
CBS's Jim Crisula. Almost half of the teens asked in a new Pew survey say they're online, quote, almost constantly. That's almost double the number from 2014 and 2015. Black and Hispanic teens were more likely than white teens to say they're almost always online. 95% of the teens asked said they have access to a smartphone. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The pressure is on. Ukraine's president will meet with President Biden at the White House today. The visit is part of a push to get Republicans in Congress to support additional aid to Ukraine, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Volodymyr Zelensky will be on both sides of a gridlocked U.S. Capitol, trying to convince Congress to approve more aid for Ukraine in its war against Russia. But Republicans in the House and Senate are insisting on new border security provisions, new immigration reform, as part of any Ukraine aid package. And the top negotiators said late Monday there's no end to those negotiations in sight.
President Biden says his administration is working tirelessly to free the hostages being held by Hamas. He spoke during a Hanukkah reception at the White House yesterday.
There's a whole range of things going on now that are really very, very difficult. We've gotten more than 100 hostages out, and we're not going to stop till we get every one of them home.
Federal prosecutors say they'll use data from White House cell phones used by then-President Trump as part of their election interference case against him. Details from CBS's Robert Costa.
When you step back, the big picture here is Special Counsel Jack Smith is building a sprawling case that is going to rely on eyewitness testimony, potentially from former Vice President Mike Pence, among others, plus phone data that can provide a map for the jury to understand what Trump was doing, who he was calling, and how long those calls took place.
A leader of the Yemeni Houthi rebels is claiming responsibility for attacking a nearby tanker. The USS Mason responded to a distress call. A federal jury has ruled that Google's Android App Store violates antitrust laws. The finding came after a month-long trial during which Fortnite maker Epic Games accused Google of gouging users through its Play Store. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
This decision isn't going to be just about Google. The case also stands in stark contrast to Epic's lost case and appeal efforts when it sued Apple over similar issues in its App Store.
It's a nice surprise for a lottery player.
A 29-year-old Michigan man drove around with a $2 million winning lottery ticket for 4 months. He had tossed the winning ticket into the center console of his pickup truck, along with several non-winning tickets.
CBS's Jim Krasula. Almost half of the teens asked in a new Pew survey say they're online, quote, almost constantly. That's almost double the number from 2014 and 2015. Black and Hispanic teens were more likely than white teens to say they're almost always online. 95% of the teens asked said they have access to a smartphone. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The pressure is on. Ukraine's president will meet with President Biden at the White House today. The visit is part of a push to get Republicans in Congress to support additional aid to Ukraine, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Volodymyr Zelensky will be on both sides of a gridlocked U.S. Capitol, trying to convince Congress to approve more aid for Ukraine in its war against Russia. The Republicans in the House and Senate are insisting on new border security provisions, new immigration reform as part of any Ukraine aid package. And the top negotiators said late Monday there's no end to those negotiations in sight.
President Biden says his administration is working tirelessly to free the hostages being held by Hamas. He spoke during a Hanukkah reception at the White House yesterday.
There's a whole range of things going on now that are really very, very difficult. We've gotten more than 100 hostages out, and we're not going to stop till we get every one of them home.
Federal prosecutors say they'll use data from White House cell phones used by then-President Trump as part of their election interference case against him. Details from CBS's Robert Costa.
When you step back, the big picture here is Special Counsel Jack Smith is building a sprawling case that is going to rely on eyewitness testimony, potentially from former Vice President Mike Pence, among others, plus phone data that can provide a map for the jury to understand what Trump was doing, who he was calling, and how long those calls took place.
A leader of the Yemeni Houthi rebels is claiming responsibility for attacking a nearby tanker. The USS Mason responded to a distress call. A federal jury has ruled that Google's Android App Store violates antitrust laws. The finding came after a month-long trial during which Fortnite maker Epic Games accused Google of gouging users through its Play Store. CBS News tech contributor Ian Scherer.
This decision isn't going to be just about Google. The case also stands in stark contrast to Epic's lost case and appeal efforts when it sued Apple over similar issues in its App Store.
It's a nice surprise for a lottery player.
A 29-year-old Michigan man drove around with a $2 million winning lottery ticket for 4 months. He had tossed the winning ticket into the center console of his pickup truck, along with several non-winning tickets.
CBS's Jim Crisula. Almost half of the teens asked in a new Pew survey say they're online, quote, almost constantly. That's almost double the number from 2014 and 2015. Black and Hispanic teens were more likely than white teens to say they're almost always online. 95% of the teens asked said they have access to a smartphone. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Some criminal litigation in that case. Speaking of criminal litigation, federal prosecutor breaking at this hour, Jack Smith, is now planning to formally ask the Supreme Court of the United States to rule on whether former President Donald Trump is or is not protected from criminal prosecution for alleged crimes while in office. That has kind of been the Trump defense in some of this. Well, you can't prosecute me because that happened while I was president of the United States, and I'm immune while I'm president. I'm no Matt Flynn, you understand. I'm no constitutional scholar, but I do not believe that argument holds water. And I think Jack Smith is smart in sending this right to the Supreme Court. We'll get a ruling because ultimately, probably, if he had moved forward without this, Trump would have found his way back to the Supreme Court anyway. So might as well get ahead of it, get a ruling on this, find out one way or the other, and then move on. So we'll have more on that as it becomes available as well. And in hour number two at 1:30 today, we have our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, Pete Schwabe, who is the host of the brand new evening program called Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 8 until 10 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Focuses more on the entertainment side of things in Wisconsin and across the country and around the world, music as well. Great guy, great program. I had the honor of being on the show last week and talking about the passing of television great Norman Lear. And so we will have Pete Schwabe on this program in hour number two at 1:30. Pete Schwabe, host of Nightlight, right here on Civic Media from 8 until 10. Looking forward to that. And also, before we move any further, I want to send out belated wishes. It's still going on, but I forgot to do this last week at the start of Hanukkah. And so for all of our friends and neighbors and listeners out there of the Jewish faith, and for those who celebrate, happy Hanukkah to one and all. We are in the middle of Hanukkah right now. And you see behind me, if you're watching on the stream, I have my beautiful menorah on the counter here. And I have not lit it yet because it took me a while to find candles this year. So I'll do that. I'll catch up tonight and then you'll see it more lit tonight or tomorrow. But I got this menorah years ago. I am not of the Jewish faith myself. I'm a Christian, but I have several friends of mine who are of the Jewish faith. And I've always been fascinated by and respect the Jewish faith because, you know, as it turns out, if it wasn't for the Jewish faith, you wouldn't have Christianity. Funny how those things work. But I've been eternally jealous on the lighter side, eternally jealous of Hanukkah because you get like 8 nights of Hanukkah versus Christmas, you get 1. So, you know, I mean, you've got all kinds of food and gifts and games and it goes on all week. And I think it's fantastic.
Well, you can just celebrate Christmas for all of December or the whole winter or Christmas in July.
Yeah, I know. But that gets now, you know, people used to eat your birthday and then it was, oh, it's my birthday weekend. And then it went to, oh, it's my birthday week. Now there are people out there, oh, it's my birthday month. It's too much.
That's a choice.
Right. And so I think Hanukkah gets it just right. A week of celebration. So to all those celebrating, happy Hanukkah. And we remember all of you and stand with you in solidarity out there of the Jewish faith. I want to begin, though, by other breaking news at this hour at 15, now past the hour of 12 noon. And that is right here in the state of Wisconsin, according to Scott Bauer from the Associated Press. Wisconsin's top Republican lawmaker said today that he is finished negotiating with the Universities of Wisconsin, formerly the UW system, over a deal that would have given the university system's employees a pay raise and paid for the construction of a new engineering building in exchange for reductions in staff positions focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion. The UW Board of Regents rejected the deal in a hastily called special meeting on Saturday after Regents voiced concerns about its targeting of DEI efforts. The fight in Wisconsin comes amid a broader cultural battle playing out across the nation over college diversity initiatives. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who reached the deal with UW System President Jay Rothman, said today on WISN-AM that he hopes the Regents will reconsider, but that he is not open to making any changes. Quote, "This deal was negotiated in good faith," Voss said. "We're not changing one thing in this deal. We're not going backward. If anything, I'd prefer to go forward. But a deal is a deal. You've got to keep your word. This is not forever. If they want to walk away, they can walk away," unquote. Neither Rothman or UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin immediately responded today for a request to comment. Democratic Governor Tony Evers on Saturday said he supported the region's decision, but wanted the negotiations to continue. In the meantime, he called on the legislature to release funding for the pay raises and engineering building. Evers' spokeswoman, Britt Cutterback, referred to those comments today when asked to react to Voss's statement. Voss said there was, quote, "zero chance," unquote, of him softening on his position. Quote, "I will do everything in my power to make sure we enforce this deal or wait until the next budget to talk about it again," Voss said. "We are not going to give the raises. We are not going to approve these new building programs. We're not going to approve the new money for the universities unless they at least pass this deal," unquote. UW leaders negotiated with Voss and other Republican lawmakers for months on the deal that was released publicly on Friday. Rothman urged the Regents to accept it, calling for fair compromise. That from the great reporting of the Associated Press's Scott Bauer. So there you have it. And I want to spend time today to get into the nitty-gritty of this, because we covered this. Mr. Zomers and I did a great job, by the way, Mr. Zomers, getting these cuts from that press release or press conference by Jay Rothman. And maybe we'll dial up one of those cuts here for the reporters from last week. We still have those after we come back. But there was one key question by a Capital Times reporter that I think set the table for this entire thing. And I did not comment on, because I was pretty, as you might remember, kind of animated on Friday, because there's a lot of things about this I did not like. And we'll talk about that. But I didn't comment over the weekend. I kind of watched all this play out in the news and press releases and social media, which is always dangerous. And what we have here are essentially three different points of view on this. And then you've got Toddy's view. We're going to come back. We're going to break this all down in a rational, thoughtful way. And we're going to ask for your calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Do not go anywhere. More after this. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us here. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zomer is on the board, Monday, December 11th. Breaking down and talking about what happened over the weekend and following it up this morning on this, I'm calling it a University of Wisconsin system debacle, and I will tell you why I feel that way. So, I want to set the table. We're going to go to the phones in just a minute as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. So during the budget process, and of course, a budget starts in one house. They go back and forth. One session, it starts in the Senate. The next time, it starts in the Assembly. Alternates. And I can't remember. I think it started the Assembly, but don't quote me on that this time. And so you have the budget process. But before you get to the actual budget, you have hearings on the budget. And the budget is overseen by a committee called the Joint Finance Committee, better known as JFC. And it's co-chaired by State Senator Howard Markline of Southwest Wisconsin, a conservative Republican. And so you have each agency, whether it's transportation, Department of Health, Human Services, University of Wisconsin system is basically an agency. And they come in and they say, here's our request for how much money we want for the next 2 years. And here's why. Every agency does this. And everybody around the table gets to ask them questions. All the legislators on this committee get to ask questions, go back and forth. And then the Joint Finance Committee votes on that budget. They'll make amendments to what UW and other agencies request. And then they vote it up or down. So included in this budget's final version for the UW system was a 4% across-the-board pay raise for about 35,000 UW system employees. And it went into the actual budget. The state budget is a bill, just like if you want to get, you know, something changed in law. Just remember Capitol Schoolhouse Rock. I'm just a bill sitting here on Capitol Hill. So it has to pass two houses of the legislature, and then the executive, either the president in Washington or the governor here in Wisconsin, has to sign it into law. Hey, now I'm a law. All right. Budget's the same thing. Budget is a bill. So this 4% pay increase for 35,000 UW employees was passed and approved by the Joint Finance Committee, put into the budget bill, approved by both Republicans in the Assembly and Republicans controlled. I mean, obviously, both Dems and Republicans vote on it, but Republicans control the Senate and the Assembly. They approved that. Then it went to Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who has a veto pen that he can use sporadically. He did not veto that. He left that in the bill, and he signed that bill into law, which means those 4% pay raises for 35,000 UW system employees was approved by both Republican-controlled legislature and the governor and signed into law. So you say, Todd, well, what's the problem? Well, there's a little-known committee called, they call it Joker. You're like, Joker's what? Joker. No, slightly different. It's kind of an acronym. It stands for Joint Committee on Employment Relations. And this little committee, which is controlled by Republicans, it's usually a rubber stamp, all right, basically, for most things. But just like when, let's take Department of Transportation, and this is not the correct number, but for purposes, just simplicity purposes, let's just say the legislature approved $500 million for the State Department of Transportation. And there are some things like maybe a specific bridge that's enumerated in there. But the way it's written, it will generally say $500 million for Wisconsin Department of Transportation to be administered, shall be, they use the word shall be administered by the Secretary of Transportation and other people, blah, blah, blah. You can't put in every single expenditure. The budget would be tens of thousands of pages long. So that the agency head has a purview over this. All right. So, and these raises, they're supposed to be administered by the Board of Regents to a certain degree, the president of the Board of Regents and the chancellors thereof. And there's probably a line, and there's a subject to approval by the Joint Committee on Employment Relations, which is usually a formality. But, you know, whether you agree or disagree, give credit to the lawyers on the Republican side and Robin Voss. They told their lawyers, let's find a loophole. Because Robin Voss is all upset over this diversity, equity, and inclusion agency, which we have talked extensively on this program, including Friday. Yes, that includes Black folks, Brown folks, LGBTQ folks, your, I'll call them traditional minorities. People, that's what people think about when they hear diversity, equity, and inclusion. But it also includes veterans who came back from service, finishing up their degree or going to school. It includes disabled folks, handicapped folks. It includes single moms and dads going back to school in their 40s to finish their degree. It includes rural kids who've never been to a Madison, a city this size, let alone a campus of 40,000 students. So it includes a lot more than just what Republicans are trying to get you to think of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And let me quickly add, there is nothing wrong with diversity, equity, inclusion for Black, Brown, and LGBTQ folks. Nothing at all. I fully support it. But let's be honest and say this is much broader than those constituencies. But Robin Voss, Republicans don't want to talk about that because that doesn't excite their base. So Voss told his attorneys on this Joint Committee on Employment Relations Committee, hey, find a loophole. And so they claim that their attorneys tell them that they have the constitutional legal authority to not pull the trigger on the approval, the execution of those 4% pay raises. They're claiming that their subcommittee has the authority to delay the execution of those approved monies for UW system employees. Now, I think that's bunk. And Governor Evers has a lawsuit going on right now. It will probably end up in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And with a 4-3 liberal majority, thanks to Janet Protasiewicz now being on the court, the likelihood is, although we're not assured, the likelihood is that will be struck down. And those pay raises that were supposed to take effect on July 1st will most likely end up going through, but we don't know that. And it could take weeks, if not months. The decision could be appealed. While it's on appeal, a federal judge could put a stay on those pay raises. It could go on for months. We don't know. So what happened was Jay Rothman, the president of UW System, said that we're not willing to wait that process out. And in the meantime, we have a building, a brand new engineering hall we want to get built and some other things. So he went to the bargaining table with Robin Voss in secret, essentially, to say, let's make a deal. Now, do I think that Jay Rothman, should have put those pay raises on as a deal after they're already approved? No, but he did. And there was a deal on the table. And what happened next? We'll tell you after this. Don't go anywhere. Jack from Merrimack, you're up next. Also, your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Back after this on the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Washington to ask for more aid. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says Republicans are demanding something in exchange.
Republicans have said, if the White House really wants this, then we want something as well. And the something they want is the issue of immigration and border security.
Israel says its military is now in control of the main square of Gaza City. CBS's Charlie Daggett is following from Tel Aviv.
The Israeli military released new videos said to show troops advancing further into southern Gaza, a house-by-house battle of urban warfare.
The Supreme Court has agreed to consider whether Donald Trump can be prosecuted for actions he took while he was president, says CBS's Robert Costa.
Trump's team now have until December 20th to respond before the high court weighs in if they do it all. All of this, of course, is going to take place as the Republican presidential race heats up next spring.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Senate's top Republican says he's standing by the state elections commissioner who acted as a false elector after the 2020 presidential election. Bob Spindell and nine other false electors settled a civil lawsuit last week saying they acted to overturn the results of that election. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said Monday that he will not remove Spindell from the elections commission despite calls from Democrats for his removal. A new poll suggests more people in Wisconsin are buying guns for self-protection. The Journal Sentinel and Marquette University polled 354 Wisconsin gun owners recently. It's the most extensive survey of Wisconsin's gun owners' opinions so far. Roughly half of Wisconsin's homes have guns in them. The survey finds 3-8% of Wisconsin gun owners say they've pulled a trigger in self-defense. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
From Sevier Studios, I'm Corey Hartman with a look at your forecast. For today, sunshine, highs around 27. Partly cloudy tonight, mid-teens. On your Wednesday, we'll see sunshine and a high around 34. A little warmer Thursday, 44. And a chance of rain on Friday with a high of 43.
It's 24 right now.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Allbush Show. 93.5 The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, The Todd Allbush Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Aaron Sommers on the board. Glad to have you along as well. Going to get to Jack in just a second on the phone lines. You could call them as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I set this up in the last segment very quickly. The Republican legislature signed by the Democratic governor into law would give UW system employees, about 35,000 folks across Wisconsin, a 4% pay raise. The little-known subcommittee, nicknamed Joker, which stands for Joint Committee on Employment Relations, co-chaired by Republican Speaker Robin Voss, said that their attorneys claim that this little committee has the legal authority not to release that approved money without their consent. Governor Evers has a lawsuit to contest that. We don't know when that ruling will come. System president of the UW system, Jay Rothman, decided to go into secret negotiations with Robin Voss. Not with the entire legislature, but with Robin Voss to get him to lift his opposition and allow these pay raises to go through. Now, do I think that the pay raises should have been put on the table after they were approved? No. But that's my opinion. But Rothman did. And I spoke out against a lot of this deal on Friday, and I am opposed to a lot of it. But there were also some good things that the UW system wanted and needed in this proposal. The point is, Rothman made the decision to negotiate, and he told Robin Voss he had a deal. Now, what we found out, and Mr. Zomers, we had that Capital Times reporter queued up. Rothman announced this deal. He held a question and answer session, and this was a great reporting by the Capital Times, and here is Rothman's answer on whether he included anyone, a person of color, in the negotiations.
Hi, I'm Kayla with the Cap Times. So as others have said, students, faculty, and lawmakers of color are concerned about this deal. Were any people of color at the negotiating table this week?
Now, we certainly had consulted with a wide variety of people, including our regents, our chancellors, some members of shared governance, and others. So we had input from a diverse group of people throughout this entire process.
Consulted with a wide variety of people, unquote. Jay Rothman.
From the tone of his voice, on his first syllable, you know the answer is no.
Right. Remember, former Democratic leader Tim Cullen taught me a long time ago. He said, Todd, anytime you talk to a politician, anything other than a no is a yes. And anything other than a yes is a no. And he's absolutely right. And Jay Rothman is essentially a politician. That's the role he got hired for. He clearly is not. So Rothman didn't have any people of color at the table negotiating about diversity. Well, as you might imagine, some folks in communities of color were a little hot about that. And they ginned up the machine overnight, Friday into Saturday. And they lobbied a bunch of these Democratic Evers appointees, the Board of Regents. And they went into that meeting, and Jay Rothman and his staff clearly don't know how to whip votes. That's a political term. I mean, get your votes in line. And they lost this thing by a vote of 9-8. By one vote. 9-8. And so now there's no deal. And Robin Voss, as we said at the top of the show, is saying he ain't negotiating anymore. There are three different positions or three different lines of thought that I see coming out of this. I'm going to share them in a second, but first let's hear yours. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jack and Merrimack, thanks for holding, Jack. What say you?
It just continues to amaze and sicken me, the arrogance of our Republican legislators. You know, they've had this 13-year continuous taken up in the legislature, what is passed in the legislature, and they think it's going to go on forever. Mm-hmm. Who does Voss think he is? A king or something? He's the sole person negotiating with the head of the Board of Regents for these pay raises?
But that's part of the problem. No, that's part of the problem, Jack. It wasn't, apparently the regions weren't involved in this, or at least they never signed off on the deal. Rothman, the president, made the deal without having his Board of Regents on board, and it's a complete debacle.
Yeah, that's another issue, but the arrogance of Voss that I can control this money. You know,
sure. No,
hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
It's just now, I'm not definitely not a constitutional scholar, but my homeroom teacher back when I was in high school was he taught the civics course, and I seem to remember there's a little detail about three different branches of government, not the legislative and the head of the legislative branch being the only two branches of government. Seems to me there is the judiciary and there is also, an administrative branch. And what does that administrative branch do? Well, it basically has, in Wisconsin, the line item veto power in the budget, and it also has the I do believe that's what administrators do, the ability to say, you know, we're going to pay these people.
Right.
Because otherwise, who's signing checks?
Right. Jack, always a pleasure. So, anything else? Go ahead quickly.
There's two more things, and I'll be quick. First, this is just an additional insult to the university system to try to cut back funding in any way possible. Secondly, this DEI stuff, I bet Voss doesn't really give a rip about DEI, but he uses it to stir up his base so that they'll just go blindly to the polls and vote R and say, these Democrats and these liberals, they're trying to take our college away from our kids and only give them to African Americans and other minorities.
Appreciate
what this is about in my.
Appreciate the call, Jack. Always welcome, Jack and Merrimack. Thanks so much. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I have a lot of calls to get to. Appreciate it. So we'll keep it short. Appreciate it. Let's go across the pond to Jay in London. Jay, thanks for calling. What say you?
Thank you, brother. First of all, I want to say the way how you look great in your shirt.
Pardon?
I said you look great with that outfit.
I'm wearing my University of Wisconsin Mitchell in blue and white today. So that's the blue and white flannel.
Oh, but, my God.
Thank you.
Second of all, my nephew Aaron today, he looked a little bit sassy. I said to myself, wow.
Yeah, maybe he's just tired. He's more caffeine. I'm not sure.
Maybe. I don't know.
Thanks.
Third of all, thank you for being on this subject. Thank you. I just want to say thank you. Because these people, I think they want to destroy the university system. You see what happened to Florida's ranking among the universities in Florida. I hope that what they are gunning up for, what they are making, Wisconsin. So this is a joke.
Thanks so much, Joe. I always appreciate the call. And yes, this is a larger discussion of what's happening across campuses across the country. But I want to try to focus on what's happening in Wisconsin right now and today. Let's go to Justin in Milton. Justin, thanks for holding on. What's to you? Hello, Justin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a person of color. I don't agree with what Robert Voss said. And I don't agree with what Robert Voss is doing with Jay Rothman.
Okay, turn your radio down if you can, Justin. You're probably getting some feedback. There's a time delay, so you have to turn your radio down and just focus on the phone if you could, please. Is that better there? So go ahead. So you're a person of color. You disagree with the deal between Robert Voss and Rothman.
Yeah, I disagree with the deal.
And what is there anything specific you don't like about it?
I don't like the fact that there are no people of color at the meeting.
Yeah, I think that's a huge mistake on Rothman's part and his staff. I mean, he admitted that there were no people of color at the table. I mean, I don't know how you talk about it.
He lied about it. He lied about having people there.
Well, I mean, it was a creative way to dodge the question. You know, he said he consulted with a variety of people. He never said that there were or weren't. He just said there were, you know, he just didn't answer the question. So he's at least learned that about politics, right? Justin, really appreciate the call. Thanks so much for listening here in WMDX in Madison. Let's go up quickly to Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley. Bill, listening on the tap up there in Eau Claire, WCFW. Bill, what say you?
This kind of smells of what we had in the federal government a while ago, and the word for that, isn't it? Quid quo? I can't think of the term.
Quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo. Where something was already approved, and then our president decided, no, I'm going to step in here. I need a sweetened deal for myself out of this. And it just reminds me of that.
Right. No, I think there was. I mean, there clearly was a quid pro quo, right? Rothman and Voss made a deal. The problem was, or is, that Rothman apparently never consulted the people that had to solidify his end of the deal. And he's the one that ends up having an egg on his face. But I appreciate the call, Bill. Thank you so much.
Never been involved. Yep.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you so much. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
We also got a message on Facebook from Bev in Richland Center. The bottom line is the danger of having the legislature interfere in the workings of the UW system is real. The only responsible thing for the Board of Regents to do was to reject this deal.
Yeah. And I think that is, and this gets right, Bev, you're spot on in terms of this gets us into what I want to talk about next. And as I watched this kind of play out over the weekend, I took notes from a variety of sources and I have formulated essentially three different takes on this situation. And then we're going to tell you my take and we're going to take more calls. So the first take is held by former speaker, Democratic Speaker of the Assembly and Ambassador Tom Loftus, respected guy. And also many of the Board of Regents listed this as why they voted no. They're saying that if they had approved this deal, it would have set precedent moving forward to accept future deals. And it basically negates the entire process that I spoke about earlier of how you formulate budgets. It's basically saying that doesn't matter. All that matters is pleasing one person in one political party. And they said that's dangerous. They also said that, you know, you're putting things that were already approved and signed into law on the table. That's a dangerous precedent to allow to move forward. It's putting the power in the hands of a few. It empowers Robin Voss and those like him, and it weakens the UW system. All right, that's what some people are saying as the correct reason to vote this down like the regents did. Then you have the more partisan Democrat, progressive, liberal view, which was we, meaning people I just said, and the regents won, quote unquote. We stood up to Robin Voss. We stood up to the Republican Party. We stood up to hate. We can't roll over minorities anymore. And now we have Voss where we want him, that Voss has to negotiate, and he now knows that diversity, equity, and inclusion is not on the table. That's a more left-leaning view of why they should have voted no. Then you have the Republican, the MAGA view of this and their spin. And when we come back, we will tell you that. I'm going to break all three of these down and lay out where we go from here. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you, you've made a little news. You have declared in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Allball, along with Aaron Zommers, on the board Monday, December 11th, breaking down this breakdown of the University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents over the weekend, voting down a deal between Robin Voss, Republican Speaker, and Jay Rothman, the president of the UW System. Instead, there are basically three kind of takeaways from the weekend. We gave you kind of the Tom Loftus Board of Regents view, which is this sets a dangerous precedent and that you can't negotiate things that were already approved and it weakens the system if you approve this moving forward. You have the more partisan, democratic, progressive, liberal viewpoint, which is you can't roll over minorities anymore, that we, quote unquote, won. The regions won. We stood up to Voss. We stood up to the Republicans, stood up to Haight. And that now we have Voss where we want him, that he has to negotiate, and that DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, is no longer on the table. I'm going to give you the Republican MAGA take on this in a minute. But first of all, I'll go back to the phones. Joanne in Madison, listening on WMDX. Joanne, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yes, I'm one of the 36,000 that didn't get a raise, but that's not what concerns me. What concerns me is that part of the deal was having a professor hired who'd be a conservative professor teaching conservative studies, and that smells. I mean, this institution that we have is supposed to be looking for whatever great new ideas are occurring and all that, and to specifically point out that, we want somebody who's a conservative to be teaching at the university, a conservative professor, that begins to steer things in a way that just doesn't work. I mean, there's a lot of people out there studying conservative politics, I'll tell you, both in the business school and in the political science department. But specifying something like that, that cuts a little bit too deeply into this whole matter of academic freedom.
I appreciate calling in, Joanne, and let me ask you, as someone who's affected by this on the pay side, are you okay and comfortable as an employee realizing that you may not get those raises for another 1 to 2 years, that the engineering building may not get built at least until the next biennium? The short question is, are you personally, as a UW employee, do you think it's okay to die on the hill of diversity, equity, and inclusion?
The wonderful building that we need built very badly, if you've spent any time on that end of campus, the engineering side of things, that is hurting the most, because I know students that are involved in that it attracts people internationally. If you want diversity on campus, that's the way you get it, because you're going to have people from all over the world. I've taught EE classes in the past that have had people from all over. Now, what There's no hill to die on. I mean, we have to live on our principles, and I believe that there should be a principled discussion of what goes on at the university, but that's not what's going on right now. It's just very, you know, it's hack phrases, and it's the politics of the moment and all of that, and not what will help the university become a world-class institution. And the money, well, I know my fellow faculty members work really, really hard, and to deny them raises is to make academic work less valuable than other kinds of work. I mean, it's work. It is work, especially this time of the year. It's crazy work, and I shouldn't be here talking. I should be working.
One quick question.
One quick question,
if you can, before I let you go. I really appreciate it. I'm a huge supporter of the institution. My godson graduated from the engineering school at UW last year. Anyway, here's a quick question. Do you believe that President J. Rothman still has the confidence of faculty and staff throughout the UW system?
I would. I don't know his academic credentials. I would like to have some. I've looked at some of his credentials, and I don't see the deep dedication to academics that I would like to see. As a lawyer, law is a wonderful profession, and all of that. He obviously is deeply into abstract thinking and all of that good stuff. But what I'm concerned about is that he doesn't understand our side of the game, what it takes to draw in people internationally. And it might be hard to get somebody to leave the lab, to leave the classroom, and take on a role like he's taking, which involves a lot of petty politics and all that, and not changing the future. I mean, right now, with AI and with the technologies that are coming out at all levels, people are so excited, and they want to get things done in this world. And being a political person isn't that a wonderful a task. And as you know, people are leaving Congress, who have a major role. So what I'm hoping is that we get somebody in there who really understands and lives and breathes academics and understands the academic culture.
Great call, Joanne. Thank you so much for your listenership, and thanks for calling. I really appreciate your point of view. That's exactly what we want to hear. We want to hear from people like that who are affected and have a thoughtful opinion. A great, great call by Joanne. And she gets to a great point. We're going to pick up on this in hour two. This lack of J. Rothman involving himself. And this is a complete divergence from what presidents of the UW system have done in the past. Think of Catherine Lyle. Think of David Ward. Think of, go down the list. I mean, even Tommy Thompson, interim president. And when J. Rothman decided to close down the two-year school at Richland Center, he never went there and talked to a solitary soul before he did it. An elected official, a community person, a staff person, a student, nobody. Reports are he did the same thing at Washington and Fox Valley. Now he goes to the table to negotiate diversity, equity, and inclusion and doesn't take anyone from a person of color with him, from a minority community with him. J. Rothman does not involve himself. And so what do you expect when you don't involve yourself? That was a great call. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Jan in Madison, thanks for calling in. Jan, what say you?
Well, I wanted to point out that there's additional issues that people like Robin Boss have with considering diversity, and that is, it's not just about race; it's about people of different skill levels. And when you enter that into the equation for our manufacturing segments, they want everybody to be able to work like machines. And if you're going to be diverse and accept people with varying differences, you're going to have to modify your standards for workers. Mm-hmm. And that means that the extreme wealthy people might have to give over a few cents because they might have to hire people that can't maintain the same pace.
Jan, thank you so much. Jan and Madison back with more, including the Republican response and what Todd thinks and more of your calls. Don't go anywhere.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat!
It's got... Come on! Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.